Good morning. Every day I come to Ohio, I feel like I come home, especially to Toledo. I used to sit in the back rows over there, the second back rows there, when I was 21 years of age. And this church has made me who we has made us who we are, my wife and I, and to be able to serve God in Wings of the Morning Flight Ministry as missionaries. We are very grateful to this United Methodist Church. We are proud of the United Methodist Church for nurturing us and helping us to go on mission to help do the work of the Lord. I bring you greetings from my father, Bishop Ntambo, who is now retired. And if I can have the next slide. He's now retired, but my father is, the church gave him a going away present, a farm, a big farm, 290 acres of land that he's trying to do something with. There's never been a farmer, so it's been interesting to watch. I also bring you greetings from a new bishop, Bishop Mande Muyombo, a wonderful man of God. We're very proud of his leadership. Just the last 6 months, it's very promising where we're going. In 2013, I found myself over the Atlantic Ocean going home. And I was taking something amazing from this country, taking home. I was flying an amazing aircraft over a $2 million airplane that was raised by this United Methodist Church. Over the Atlantic Ocean, I had to ask myself a couple of things. Two things crossed my mind. Number one, I am crossing the Atlantic Ocean, and I don't know anything about swimming. But not that it matters. But the second thing that crossed my mind was, how in the world did I come to do this? Because I know my background, and most of you know my background as well. I was the boy you see on TV with no shoes up to the age when I was 10 years of age. But how in the world did I come to be flying a $2 million airplane? And then something, it had to be the hand of God. Because I know my background, I knew how I grew up. I remember the day when a missionary pilot came to a town, Luena, he gave me a pair of shoes. That pair of shoes was like a seed of love, because for the first time, I was able to put on a pair of shoes that changed my life. And for the first time, I knew the difference between having shoes and not having any shoes. Because now I was free, I can run, I can step on anything without any fear. And I had 15 of my friends running behind me. Gaston, can we try your shoes? Let me try your shoes. I refused. Those shoes was like a seed of love that was planted inside of me. And I would look at the shoes and I would wonder, who can give away such good shoes? They came from a United Methodist Church in America. I happened to find myself in one, a mission-minded United Methodist Church. And I want to return thanks to this United Methodist Church for what you do in mission, because I am here to witness that it gets there. It does. It changed my life. Just a pair of shoes. Because I would look at the shoe and I was inspired by this missionary pilot. I wanted to become like him, but that was impossible. The chances of me, a boy in Africa with no shoes, to becoming a pilot flying a $2 million airplane was very slim. And it's almost as if somebody came up to you today and said, hey, would you like to go to the moon tomorrow for a visit? The chances of all the possibilities of that happening is very slim. But the God that you and I worship is an amazing God. And he can be able to use anybody, even an African boy with no shoes. So here I was flying back home, flying this magic airplane. It's perfect. It's big inside. It's got very nice equipment. Touch screen, autopilot. I push my seat back and check my email. I'm really spoiled. I'm a lazy pilot, but now I'm flying in style. That's okay. I worked for 19 years. Now I can fly for enjoy the flying for a little bit. The images I'm about to share with you has something to do with what we are involved, you and us, because we are connectional, a global connectional church, this United Methodist Church. And the images I'm about to show you is not something that we are doing on our own. This is something that we're doing all together as United Methodist Church, because with your prayers and support, financial support, we're able to do what we're able to do together. This man woke up one day to find his children that were screaming in the middle of the night. He went outside to find that his house was burning, small hut, where his children were sleeping. He ran inside even though he could not see, and he found three of his children and managed to throw them outside, but he could not find the fourth child. As you can see, his back is completely burned. He threw the children outside, but he could not find the fourth child. The fourth child was consumed in the flames. If we had a small airplane like we used to, this would have been very difficult, because with a small airplane, the things that I have to do first for 19 years is fly first to another country to go find the fuel. at $16 a gallon, if you can find the fuel. Then I'll fly this small airplane back home with two drums of 55-gallon drums behind me. I'm squished in there. I'm a flying bomb all the way back home. Land, unload, refuel, and then run to go save someone's life. If I had to do that, the outcome would have been different. But with this airplane now, all I have to do is pick up my phone, and they bring the fuel to me. The fuel truck comes to me now with $4 a gallon. Amazing. 6 months later, God did what God does best, and here they are. I took them back home to their own village. What an exciting day it was for everybody to see these children alive. And in the community, when something happens to them, it happens to you, it happens to everybody. So they all are affected. When they saw this family living, to see them back home, everybody wanted to see them. As you can see, each one of them has a telephone. They're all trying to take pictures of them just to witness that, you know, they are alive. So this was a great day. 3,000 people over the airfield. I had to get a stick to push people off the runway so I can go home. So you see, the things that they do is that they when you land or take off, the children line up on the runway, and the people, the grown-up as well, they want to see you touch down. So this is the runway. They're blocking the person behind them. The next person moves over. And then the next person moves over. You have a V on the runway of people lined up like that. You come low and scare them off and come back and scare them off. They think you're making an air show for them. They're happy. You're angry. But anyway, that's how it goes. It's anybody who calls. Anyone who needs help, we go to their rescue. This man had malaria, diarrhea, and kidney stone all at the same time. So much pain. This boy went for surgery, and it's anyone who calls in the village. What they do is the flame and cross in the villages is their 911 reach. If they can reach the flame and cross, they can find our district superintendent. He can call me. He can call my wife. Call the bishop's office. I can be able, if we have enough daylight, I can go pick them up. For this man, unfortunately, arriving there, this is the only mode of transportation in a town of 6,000 people. The motorcycle is the only way we can get them to the hospital. And I was amazed because a few weeks ago, my wife and I were involved in a car accident. And in about 15 minutes, there was an ambulance, the police truck, the fire truck. The police were all there ready to help. My brother-in-law was driving and somebody hit us from behind. And so it was very, we had some back pains and neck pains, but we were okay. But in 15 minutes, in the Congo, this is what you have to do. For most villages, this is what they have to do. They'll put you in a chair like this, and this is the flash that you see, which means all night long they had to travel. This woman has a baby that she was trying to give birth to a baby. The baby is born halfway, so it's stuck. The baby got stuck, and she, from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. when we found them, the baby's still stuck, and she's bleeding to death. So I ran back, and this gentleman, his work is to guide the bar, and then the people behind is to push. That's their job, to push the bicycle. These people move really fast. This is my wife as we saw them, and I ran back to the airfield, asked them to come quickly to the airfield so I can fly them the last 10 miles. I fly them to the closest hospital. They had already done 50 miles on foot from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. So you are truly blessed in this country. That's one thing that I really want to emphasize. You really are blessed because it still takes over 12 hours to do 60 miles in dry season. In rainy season, it's an adventure. Don't do it. But when you get sick, no one is coming for you either because no one is going to be involved in this condition. This truck, this is my truck. I was sending it to go drop some fuel and to drop some chairs for the Central Conference when Bishop Palmer was coming. But this truck was... It took it to do 300 miles, 300 miles, 1.5 months, because they had to go through a lot of this. This woman had a broken leg. There was a gap in the bones. And because there was a gap in the bones, she could not put the foot on the ground. So for 3 years, she crawled everywhere. And then she was so used to crawling that when we went to pick her up, she got so excited, she started crawling up the stairs. And then normally we have a chair or a stretcher we can put passengers on the other side where we have a big door on the other side. But she was already halfway there and the family tried to help her inside. A month and a half ago, three months ago, I flew this woman. Her sister and her husband were involved in an elephant that attacked them and killed the husband. and broke the sister's legs and ribs and hips. She has broken legs and broken ribs, and she was really badly injured in the face, but she's also pregnant. When I came back last month, they told me that she's doing well and the baby's okay, so we praise God for this. But this is what we have to do every day to give people a second chance to life, because otherwise, 300 miles in that condition, there's no way. She's in so much pain, any movement is very difficult. The goal of Wings of the Morning Flight Ministry is by the grace of God to be able to fly somebody in this condition, helpless and hopeless, and then by the grace of God, fly them home this way. We do continue to fly medical supplies and drop along the, every year between the month of January and February, we have a cholera epidemic. So we have to drop the medicine along the Congo River, and this helps to stop the cholera epidemic very quickly. We have a group of doctors that come every year between the month of within a year they will come, and then I will fly them in a small village, drop them, and then for 3 weeks they will have treated over 3,000 people. And each one of these people is a specialist or something. They will treat the patients, different cases. One time I flew 179 of these children. And another time I flew 73 of these women that were having an obstetric fistula condition, which is a condition where women have non-stop bleeding, non-stop urine, create a very strong smell that they get shunned from the community. A lot of the women kill themselves because their husband would leave, and they get, you know, and it's an age, they go from 14 to 65 years of age. And one time I had to fly, I don't normally carry this. If you come to visit me, I will not be squeezing you in this airplane like this. We normally don't fly passengers, this many passengers in the airplane. But I had one opportunity to give people a second chance to life. These women, there was 18 passengers. I have 13 seats in the airplane. They all had to go because they were having that condition. And this was a moment where they can get their life back. So they all came up to me begging to fly on Wings of the Morning. If it was not them begging, it was their parents at my knees begging that I fly them. I did the wait, and I figured weight-wise, there's no issue. But the seating arrangement, we had to renegotiate. So we put four people in one chair and one big seat belt around all of them. They didn't mind, I didn't mind, so we managed to get them there. Because I was leaving the next day to come to the U.S., and this was the last time they could fly on Wings of the Morning. They get their smiles back. We have three ultrasound machines that have been provided for us. For example, for the first time now, the doctors in the villages can do their work, and they also save me the flight hours. Many motorcycle accidents that happen over there. Many, because the roads, there's no roads. Only small bicycle paths, and they use the motorcycle. It's much easier to move around that way. I want to finish that by saying that, you know, God find ways to energize me in Wings of the Morning. Sometimes it's through you. Once in a while, I get a card in the mail. Sometimes it's an email from a friend from Ohio, Toledo, and school, and so on. It just encourages to be able to hear from you. When I'm here, I'm able to share my story. It doesn't get me tired. I can talk for hours. Because I'm excited about the work that God is doing. Because I am in a position where I'm able to see the hand of God working every day. And so it gives me excitement. If I had to fly visitors all the time, I think I'll get tired of that. But when I hear of a patient, I get this, adrenaline. I want to go quickly and save the life. Because the moment I'm coming down for a landing, I've flown for 300 miles with this patient that could have not made it. I'm about to touch down. I look behind. That person is still breathing and still alive. That is priceless. But I get to do this, and I enjoy doing that, and I will do it for some time. But sometimes one of the moments we get encouraged is a patient like this one, or somebody you've been caring for such a long time, just before you say goodbye, they take the time to stop, scream, and reach out and say thank you. Then they go back to the crying again. That is very, very touching. This woman, I flew her because she had an issue. She could not lift her leg. She could only push her leg on the ground like this. And then as she's dragged her feet, she would scream in pain. She was in so much pain. She was the last passenger because I picked up so many, six stops to save on the fuel. I would make six flights, six different areas, and pick up people and drop medicine at the same time. Arriving in the city of Lubumbashi, she was in so much pain that she could not go home, and she didn't have anybody to meet her. So I decided to take her home by a car. I drove 25 minutes, but the last 30 minutes was on a dirt road. And she was in so much pain that I had to go very gentle with her as she's screaming all the way back there. When we arrived at the destination, she asked me, before I could open the door, if she could pray for me. In her words, she said, "Heavenly Father, you promised me in my lifetime that should I ever get in any kind of trouble, you'll come for me. You promised me that should I ever get stranded at any situation, you'll send an angel for me." She called me an angel. How else could I have done this? 300 miles away in my condition, I would have died on the way here. Lord, she turned around. She started praising this God. She called him special names in my mother tongue, Lakungwambanze, which is a very strong way of worshiping and praising God. She praised him and she praised him. When she said amen, for some reason, I had enough energy to do the flight all over again. And this is what I'm part of every day in Wings of the Morning. But I want to thank you for the invitation to come share my story. I want to thank you for being in partnership with Wings of the Morning. I want to thank you for being involved in missions, because it does get there. I'm here to witness to that. It changed mine. Thank you so much.